Just wanted to start off with just a few comments. You know, really excited about getting going into game week here. I think we've had a great preseason camp, and so started that process this weekend in terms of getting prepared for Florida Atlantic. I think they bring, you know, a really good coaching staff here. Coach Kiffin has coached at all levels in the NFL, SEC. He's got a great background of football and understanding, and he's going to bring a challenge to our defense. You know, they do a lot of great things on offense, create mismatches, tempo. You know, he's kind of innovative in terms of what he's doing over there. And for a challenge there. And then on defense, they changed their scheme. They have a new defense coordinator, Glenn Spencer, who came from Charlotte. He was at Oklahoma State before that. And they bring a bunch of different looks to the table, different coverages, different fronts. Not really having the opportunity to see those guys on film, we'll have to be able to react, you know, during game, make adjustments. But at the end of the day, yeah, we just fired up to play a game. So looking forward to get going here on Saturday.
Open up for questions, front row, middle. Dave?
Ryan, there's got to be a million things that you're looking forward to seeing in the game on Saturday, how things, certain things play out. Like, what are a few things that you're most curious about? Like, is it how Justin plays at quarterbacks, the O-line? Just what are some few things that are kind of the atop your list?
Yeah, the first thing is tackling. We have to tackle. We have to take care of the football, and we have to block. So those are the three things that we're really focused on going into this game. Playing a clean game is very, very important. But then that's kind of why you want to get going with the season, figure out where we're at. We have, you know, a new scheme on defense. We have some new faces on offense, and we want to see what we look like. You know, you play against the same offense and defense for a long period of time. You know, it gets a little stale just in terms of the same looks over and over again. Now you're going to start seeing some different schemes against different players, find out where your matchups go, look like against other people, and figure out where we need to get better, because this is a journey. You know, this is not a finished product by any stretch of the imagination, and kind of want to, get to Saturday and figure out, you know, where the issues are, get those fixed, and figure out where we feel like we're in good shape and keep enhancing those.
You know exactly how it's going to play out, but do you feel pretty confident you know kind of how Justin's going to play, or do you feel it's still kind of a mystery at this point?
I feel when you practice so many times, you get a feel for what they're going to do. You know, typically guys don't change too much, you know, when they're in a game, but this will be the first time he's live. You know, we haven't taken him to the ground, so that'll be new. And we have to, see, how a lot of guys respond. You know, we haven't done a ton of tackling with the ones. We have with the twos. It's been a very physical camp, but until you really tackle and you get out there, that's when you figure things out. You know, I think you saw that maybe the other night and Saturday night. You know, just when you get out there and you start really playing the game, you know, it's different than practice. So I think, you know, we're going to expect to see the way that the guys have practiced. They're going to play that way. There'll be some jitters early on that goes with the with the first game. But other than that, you know, I think we'll get what we see in practice.
Far left, Lauren.
Coach, last year you were really prioritizing continuity with Urban Meyer's program. So this is your first game as the head coach full time. Is there anything you're changing about the game day structure for your guys? Still doing quick kettle, still having an offensive player do the pep talk and a defensive player? Is there anything different this year?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing a couple of things just leading up to the game, but in terms of the traditions that have been before, we want to keep all those going. You know, that's one of the greatest things about Ohio State is the traditions and the skull sessions and the walk and the quick cows with the students. We actually did that. We had almost 5,000 students in the stadium the other day. We went through it and taught them the quick cows. I think it's an unbelievable tradition. And then singing with the band afterwards. I mean, all those things are what makes Ohio State great. So we want to keep that going, and we're embracing that. You know, the guys in the team had to learn, the young guys had to learn the fight song. We sang the fight song in the locker room after the mock game on Saturday. So we love the traditions. We've got to keep those going.
So have you ever had a quarterback that was a proficient punter?
I don't think so.
They use quarterback punted 6 times last year. Do you don't have a guy that has been capable of that, you don't think?
We have a pretty good punter in Drew Chrisman, so we like to use him. There's a lot of reasons schematically to do, that quick punt that they do. You know, it kind of catches you off guard, and if you have somebody that can kind of get the ball to roll, especially on a turf field, you know, it can carry a lot of ground down the field and get you pinned if you're playing the field position game, and it works for them. But Drew's our punter. Yeah.
Front row left, Mitch.
Ryan, going back to Dave's question from before, how satisfied are you with the five guys that you've settled on for the offensive line, considering, you know, the lack of game starting experience that you had there in the beginning? to start camp. Are you pleased with those guys? You foresee them going in there most of the time? Are you thinking about rolling guys at this point?
I think you're going to see probably, you know, 7 to 8 guys playing in the game on Saturday. You know, we'll have our starting guys go out there. You know, I've said from the beginning, the guys who deserve to play in the game are going to have an opportunity to play. And so, you know, we got to make that decision going into the weekend and figure out, okay, does this guy deserve to play? Is he of starting caliber? And if he is, they're going to play. Every position's a little bit different, but I think we have pretty good depth there.
Second row left, Bill.
Ryan, as you studied this from last year coming into this year and then going through camp, how do you feel about the way you guys executed scoring touchdowns in the red zone and whether or not that's going to be more of a strength for you guys this year than it was last year?
How we did last year, looking at that. Yeah, I thought that you know, early on we did some good things, throwing the ball. We got jammed up in 2 games. One of them was the Purdue game where we're not very good down there in the red zone. And then we came back after that week and kind of changed our philosophy a little bit down there. And I thought from then on we were pretty good down there in terms of numbers. So, you know, that's something that we've spent a lot of time on in the offseason and really tried to figure out, you know, a way to do that. It's a plan to win. You got to score touchdowns when you're in the red zone. And so, you know, we have a good defense. We have good special teams. We're going to have opportunities to get the ball down there. And so we got to make sure we're scoring touchdowns when we're in that area.
And you had to use a lot of those, in the Nebraska game in particular, use a lot of those heavy packages. Does having someone like Justin maybe make you less reliable in having to get those extra bigger bodies out there? Is that the plan anyway?
Well, he's definitely has the capability to run, you know, more than Dwayne did, more like JT. So, you know, that's something that is obviously a weapon down there. Is as you get lower, that safety now starts to get in the box. He's less, you know, less likely to be in the middle of the field. He gets closer. And so the numbers, you know, kind of, you know, favor the defense as you get tighter down into the red zone. So having the ability to have a quarterback who can run helps with those odds.
Did you come out of the mock game over the weekend solidifying which coordinators will be up in the box and which ones will be on the field?
Yeah, I think that Mike and Kevin will be in the box. Jeff Hafley will be in the box. You know, Greg Madison will be on the sideline.
Did you just let us in a little bit on the play calling structure defensively, how that's going to work between Greg and Jeff?
Yeah, those guys work together. They, you know, Jeff's you know, really good upstairs in terms of recognizing what's going on, how they're being attacked, and that communication's going back and forth there. And you know, they come up with the game plan during the week, and then they're communicating within you know, within the series in terms of what they want to get called, you know, down and distance, things like that. So, you know, they give it to the signaler, and they signal in the defense, and they go from there. But they do it together, and it's been working so far. So we'll see once we get into games, you know, if there's any kinks we need to work out.
Right next door, Ari.
You guys are kind of in a situation where you want Justin to play as much as possible, gain as much experience, but you also want to keep him healthy. When you go into a game, do you feel that there's a tightrope that you're walking in terms of how long to keep him in? Do you have a plan for that if you guys get up big? How do you want to handle just the preservation of Justin?
I think, you know, you have to go into a game expecting to go win the game in the fourth quarter. You have to go into games thinking that way. I think if you start getting ahead of yourselves down the road, you know, these guys are good. They're well coached, and we have to make sure that, you know, we're ready to win the game in the fourth quarter. And I think if you start going down any other road, you go down a bad path. That being said, you know, he's got to go play the game. And, you know, we can't be walking on eggshells going into a game and worried about people getting hurt or anything like that. We got to go play. You know, our guys got to do a good job protection-wise. I think the schemes that we imply each week are taking that into consideration, though. You know, we're not just going to, you know, put somebody out there and put them in harm's way. We don't need to. But at the same time, we got to go win games. And that means, you know, whatever it takes. So, you know, and as the game changes and whatever happens within the game, we try to make the best decision moving forward because it's a long season.
With Justin, I think everybody kind of has an idea that what he's able to do as a runner is just great athleticism, and he can take it from there. And that maybe the further path that he has to take in terms of arriving is passing. When you create these game plans, do you say, hey, we want to throw it more than you would otherwise to get him that experience, or do you let him just run and go at it the way he plays the best? I mean, how do you guys balance between passing and running with the quarterback when he's in a critical situation in terms of gaining experience?
Yeah, I think that we try to find the plays that give us the best schematic advantage to score. And then as we start to play these games, I think we'll get a feel for his creativity as plays break down, what he can handle in terms of route combinations, his progressions, the way he sees things in a game. I think we got a good feel for that in practice, but we have to take a look to see, or what are the plays that best fit the defense we're going to see that gives us the best chance, and then go from there. And the good news for Justin is that, you know, he throws it just as good as he runs it, and vice versa. So if that means we need to throw the ball, we need to throw the ball, and guys need to protect and catch the ball and get open, and we got to deliver the ball. If it means running, the guys up front got to run, and then J.K.'s got to run the ball. And so every time we run the ball, it doesn't mean that Justin needs to be involved in that. There are some plays where he will be, but for the most part, you know, if a defense is giving us one thing over the other, then we got to do that. Then there's also times where, you know, Justin has to read, our quarterback has to read whoever that defender is to figure out, is he taking away the run or is he taking away the pass? And those are run-pass options. And if he can do those things and make good decisions, then he's moving the offense down the field.
Quick one. Ryan, I know you've been through game day stuff already last year, the three games. But since you were named the head coach in December, there's been a lot of whirlwind stuff, you know, recruiting and getting Justin and all the stuff. Now that you've arrived here, the anticipation with your family, everything, where are you at mentally in terms of just, it's here and this is what you've been preparing for?
Yeah, no, even when you say that, it fires me up. I can't wait for the season to start. I can't wait for these guys to start playing and kind of see where we're at. I can't wait to run out of the tunnel. I had a long talk with Coach Meyer when I first took the job, and he used to always say when Hang On Sloopy came on, he would look up and really appreciate the fact that he was coaching at Ohio State. And so I tried to figure out when that would be for me, and that's going to be when I run out of the stadium. You know, when I'm with the team in the tunnel looking up to see, you know, the horseshoe and everybody that supports in Buckeye Nation, how cool that is. You know, take it in, take a deep breath, because you'd go through a whole game and not even recognize anything that's going on because you're so caught up in the moment. And I'm excited to get going, run out of the tunnel, go play, and what an unbelievable opportunity this is. It's an opportunity to be around a great group of players, great group of coaches at an unbelievable university. So time to start playing some games.
Third row middle. Andy?
Yes, Coach. You stated that you're willing to rotate a couple different guys at right tackle. What is it about the group you have up front that you feel you're able to rotate linemen and still keep the chemistry up front?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we're going to have our starters. So, you know, Thayer and Brand will start a tackle to start with. And then those guys, you know, they'll come in and they'll roll a little bit. You know, there's some depth there. You know, it's hard to find that many linemen who we think are have the ability to start and play in the Big Ten. You know, we do. We're lucky enough to have that. You know, I think Josh Allaby and Nick have both proven, you know, through practice that they deserve reps. So they're going to do that. And, you know, there is a chemistry that comes with that, but you know, the calls are the calls. They know each other. They're in meetings every day. They're around each other every day. They communicate. And so, you know, whether a guy jumps in or not, you know, Jonah Jackson's going to be able to, you know, communicate with Josh just like he does there, and vice versa on the right side, you know, Wyatt. But, you know, Harry Miller, you know, don't be surprised if you see him in there as well. But those guys, I think when you play to a certain level, you deserve to play. Now, when, how, all those things, that depends on the game plan, depends on how the game is being played out.
Second row, right, Tony.
Ryan, you talked about you're focused on the blocking, tackling, protecting the ball. What are your two biggest concerns, offense and defense, right now?
We have ball security and tackling. Those are the two things. Yeah, and I think so much of that comes with being tough. We talk about it all along with how tough we have to be, and then I watched the documentary after the game the other night, and Woody Hayes was talking about toughness for like 15 minutes. It was really cool because that's the essence of Ohio State. And we hit it right on the head with this thing. It's all about toughness. And tackling is being tough. And ball security is toughness. It's toughness locking onto the ball and understanding how important that ball is. Sometimes it's being unselfish and making sure, you know, that ball's locked away, or a quarterback not forcing the ball into coverage. And we've got to take care of the football, and we've got to make sure we're tackling.
And how did that turn out so far? How did that work out in practice? I know you guys were focused on punching the ball out. How did the offense do, and how did the defense do tackling?
We'll find out on Saturday. You know, I mean, it's funny. It's like, you know, if they pop one out, you say, well, you know, the offense gave it up, but the defense created one, and then vice versa. If you go through all day without turnovers, yes, the defense, you know why they didn't create any turnovers. So either way, you know, you could look at it one way or another. But, you know, at the end of Saturday's game, we'll have an idea kind of where we're at, and we build from there.
Far right, Gene.
Hey, so I see you clean shaving today. When did you shave your beard and why? What was up with that?
That was a camp beard. That was only supposed to go about a week. And late nights and early mornings, it just turned into a 2 to 3 week beard. And then as we get into game week, it's time to shave and get cleaned up.
All right, awesome.
Ryan, you've obviously practiced and gone to training camp against Ohio State defenses the last couple of years. What was it like this month going against them with that new staff? Were there some more challenging, different looks that you saw in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think they're practicing at a high level. I think you're seeing some linebackers who are showing up. They're getting their hands on balls. They're showing up in a run game. The D-line is you know, penetrating, and they can get after the passer. And I think the secondary is playing at a high level right now. I think they're running around. They're playing with technique. They're playing with a lot of energy. And so it's been a challenge. It's been a challenge, especially when you get – if we can get teams off schedule and get them in the second long, then I think you're playing to our defensive strength. So I'm fired up to go see what it's going to look like. And it's not going to be perfect. I mean, there's going to be things that come along here in the first couple games that we're going to have to work through. And, you know, the biggest thing we got to do is we got to get them on the ground and make them play another play. But I'm proud of those guys, the way they've come out. They're hungry. I think they got something to prove.
If Jonathan Cooper couldn't play on Saturday or in any game this season, who would be the next couple guys in line to help you guys up front?
In terms of defensive end? Yeah, I mean, you see, obviously Chase is there, and then Javonte Jean-Baptiste has done a really good job this preseason. He's come along. Zach Harrison is going to play this year. You know, he's really the beginning of his career, but he's got a huge ceiling, and the more he plays, the better he'll get. And then you have Tyreek Smith and Tyler Friday as well. So, you know, you got and then you know Jayshon Carnell is also a swing guy. You know, he can kind of go outside or inside. He's done that before, so feel decent about the depth there.
I think the depth talk has been mainly about the three tech and the nose, but you guys feel as comfortable on the edge as you do there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think maybe we're a little bit deeper inside, but feel strong.
Third row, right, Rob.
Following up on Gene, apologize for the guys that did not get cleaned up this week.
It's game week.
You talked about defensive, how that's going to go with play calling and design. Can you lay out how play calling is going to work on the offense? You have final say, I assume, but how do you see that working?
Yeah, so far I've been really pleased with the way our meetings have gone. I think, you know, we have some guys in that room who have been in the offense for a while now, so the great input, you know, great experience to fall back on, different things we've seen. We all talk the same language now, so that's really good. And then you infuse Mike Yurcich into that with really good ideas. You know, sometimes we almost have too many ideas, which is a good thing. I love that. And so, you know, we have to make sure we put the game plan together. We're sound with the game plan. Everybody's involved with that. Everybody takes ownership in that. Once it goes up on the board, we all make that play work. We may not agree on it, but once we leave that room, we're all on board with those plays. And then once we get into the game, we got to find the right plays and the right rhythm. But Kevin's always been involved with that. Mike will be involved with the play calling. But like you said, at the end of the day, I'm going to be the one making the call.
What do you enjoy about play calling? What I mean, does it get you going?
It's the competing part of it. Yeah. I mean, I've always loved to compete, and you know, I like to be in control, and so that's why I like to call the plays.
What about the challenge of it? Well, I mean, what do you find the most challenging?
Well, I think as a head coach, there's a lot going on. You know, I mean, you have the special teams, you know, you have, you know, game management, things that you have to take into consideration, you know, injuries that may happen in game, things that are going on defensive side of the ball, timeouts, you know, all those things to be on top of. So, you know, spread a little more thin that way. But I think as a quarterback guy, as an offensive coordinator, you've always looked at the game that way from a macro approach. And game management's always right in the forefront of things. And so, you know, did it those first three games and just going to kind of go from there.
Just general last thing, how important is play calling? I mean, if you have to kind of look at different segments of a game, and is it overplayed? Do we give it too much credit?
I think sometimes it's overplayed, sometimes it's underplayed. I think so much of it is how do you teach it? First off, how do you pick the right plays that fit? But then how do you teach them on Tuesday and Wednesday so that the guys are ready to go play? Because, you know, you can pick any play you want, but how do they execute them? Because they have to be trained to react, because you're not always going to get the exact look that you thought and that you drew up. And so, you know, making sure the scout team's accurate, making sure that they're thinking clearly so they can play fast, not giving them too much information, but then being on the cutting edge. And I think when you can make, you know, it's simple for the guys, but then complicated for the defense, that's when you got an edge.
Front row right, Bill.
You talked about tackling and ball security, some of the things you're really curious about. What are the maybe more intangible things that you, as you enter your first game as permanent head coach, that are on your mind about, you're just curious to see what happens?
Well, I think there's certain things you want. You want to be clean. You know, you don't want penalties. Like, you know, you want to take care of the football. You want to tackle. You want to block. You want to see the energy. You want to see what guys, you know, the stage isn't too big for them once they get in the arena. There's going to be certain things in the game. One, you're going to see things during the game that you never saw in practice. That's just kind of the way it works in that first game. Is going to be jitters. And then guys kind of fall into their training, and that's typically how it works. Find out where we can play with depth. We'd like to play at depth at every position if we can. And so the more depth we can build, the stronger we'll be at the end of the game and at the end of the season. So those are all things looking at.
Brandon Bowen is going to start a right tackle. Obviously, it's been a long road for him. What did you see from him this summer, and why did he win the job?
First off, his attitude was as good as I've been around this year. You know, he has been through a lot. Personally, he's been through a lot with the injury. And so to see the way he's smiling, the way he's got a lot of energy, the way he's working, he's kind of changed his body with Mick in the weight room. And I just love his approach right now. He's practicing at a high level. And, you know, when you're going against Chase Young and Coop and those guys every day in practice, you know, if you're blocking them, then you're doing a hell of a job. And so he has. He's done that. And he's taken a mature approach to this thing. I think he's shown some leadership. He's more of an example guy than a vocal guy. But this is a guy who, you know, I think is going to have a great year.
Second row right, Kyle.
Yeah, I was curious, just as an offensive-minded head coach, what your involvement in defensive game planning or defensive meetings is?
Very little. That's why we hired, you know, the guys that we did. There's so much experience there. Got a lot of trust in those guys. If I see something, then I'll go down there and ask why. Usually they have a quick answer, and you know, I trust those guys. And I think, you know, anytime you want to go run your offense or run your defense, I think if someone comes in and starts meddling around, then it's hard. And so, you know, certain standards, we have certain agreements on the way in and non-negotiables, and so, you know, we'll see where the season goes. But I trust those guys.
Then you talked about being fired up for Saturday. How much did being in charge last August and for those three games kind of normalize this year's camp and take away any like nerves or anxiety that you otherwise might feel?
The nerves and anxiety, that's not going to go away. Yeah. I mean, understanding what's at stake every time you step on that field, you know, that's part of it. So it doesn't matter if I'm game one or game, you know, 300, you know, it's always going to be that way because there's an expectation here. And I get that. That being said, I think, you know, at night, you know what to expect. You've walked through it before. We've gone through pregame. We've gone through Friday. We've gone through the skull session. We've gone through the pregame. We've run out of the tunnel. We've done all those things together, other than a few of the freshmen. So we've walked those shoes already. So that's good to know. It's a little comforting that way. But at the same time, we got to produce.
Fourth row, middle, Dylan.
How much are you expecting the bowl position to be coming just right away to into the defensive scheme?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what that does. You know, it's those. The bullet guys are, you know, they're talented guys, and so we want to see how that goes. But I think that you know, the skill set that they bring to the table is that I think fits them well. So in terms of what we're going to ask them to do, is really fits what they can do. So excited to see what they can do on Saturday. See how it fits in. See how it develops as the season goes on.
Front row middle, Joey.
You've talked about J.K. Dobbins being kind of a workhorse for you earlier in the season. Do you go into a season with a target number of carries for him per game? It's been a while since you guys have had a guy get like 20 carries a game.
Yeah, no, not really. But he's going to have some 20-carry games. That's it. And he's been practicing with his pads down. He's been practicing tough. And, you know, he's gotten stronger. He's lost, I think, like 4% body fat, which for him is tremendous. So I think he's ready for that kind of season. You know, he's been kind of splitting time with Mike over the last couple of years, and now he's got to be the workhorse, and I think he's ready for that.
And as far as the injury policy, was that entirely dictated by your medical staff? Did you have input at all on that? I mean, obviously there's a kind of a gamesmanship element to it.
So we just had discussions, you know, with administration, with the medical staff, and sat down and made the decision that was the best for moving forward.
Front row left. Doug?
You watched the whole college football show after the game?
Nah, I fell asleep.
There was a lot of Ohio State in it.
Yeah.
A lot.
Pretty cool.
Your game planning, as you think about game planning, right? Not just like in meetings, but as you're driving in your car. What is the difference of maybe back when you were a coordinator, you were just had little X's and O's dancing in your head, and now that you're a head coach, are you thinking about, is that guy going to class? Oh, yes. Like, what's your free time, your daydreaming, like, how is it different?
It's a great question. I can always count on you for one of these questions.
Yeah,
you know that.
In your head.
So one of the things I've done is when I go home at night or when I drive to work in the morning, I turn off the radio, I turn my phone off, and that's 20 minutes of just peace where I can focus on the team. I can focus on the defense. I can focus on the special teams and take a picture of, you know, really thinking about it as a head coach. Because once I get caught up in here and it's offense and scheme and different plays and things like that, I really dedicate that time to, like you said, let your mind wander in terms of what needs to get done. You know, where are we at with player personnel? Where are we at in those type of areas? Recruiting is always on the forefront. That's always number one. So that takes priority over everything. But those times in terms of driving to work and coming home, that's times where I really just try to focus on you know, the things that you need to make sure that you're on top of as head coach.
And you talked about, like, Mike having good ideas. And we know Kevin's been a play caller in his career for a long time. Do you just not have as much time for your own creativity and your, because you have so many things to do that you have to lean on them a little bit more for stuff? Or do you find time that you're like, man, I really just need to think about red zone offense and sit down and decide what the plays are going to be? You know, how much of the thinking about offense have you given up, or how much have you made sure, no, I can't give that up. That's what I'm good at.
I feel like because our staff, you know, I'm in there so much, and, you know, Urban was involved last year, but now having Mike in there and then having Brian Hartline a year older, having the experience of Tony and Stud in there, and then Kevin being in his third year, and we have some really good young coaches as well who have been in the program now for a while. We have catalogs of different ideas, and they'll come to me. They'll come in my office. They'll text me at night. They have different ideas. So I think our staff as a whole is stronger. They're creative. And so it isn't just me. It's that whole staff. And I think that they've all stepped up their game, and they're going to have to continuing throughout the season.
And look, when you look at your defense as an offensive guy, does it feel like with what Jeff and Greg are doing that do you expect that opposing offenses maybe will have less of an idea from play to play what Ohio State's defense is going to look like? Do you think they'll be more confused, or just, you guys were so good at press man for such a long time here, and I know you guys did some other stuff last year too, but as you analyze it from your side of things, how does that feel, that defense now coming at you?
No, I think they do a nice job with disguising things and you know, giving you a picture and doing something else. But more importantly, I think they're taking a lot of pride in being able to play fast and, you know, getting their cleats in the ground and playing tough and playing the run and making sure they're clean on their assignments and then playing with great passion. So that's where we got to see really good tackling on Saturday. We got to see guys run to the ball with great pursuit. But I think, yeah, you'll see some disguises, but I also think you'll see a lot of sound football.
Got just a few more minutes. Front row right over here,
Clay. Hey, Coach. Urban indicated on his Fox show last weekend that there was a big drop between Justin Fields and the other two. To what extent are the other two game ready? And would you have to pare things down for Gunner or Sugar?
Well, I think that, you know, Gunner, he just hasn't really had as many snaps under his belt, so he doesn't quite have a grasp of the offense like the other guys do. You know, Chris has been in the offense before, and he's done some really good things in camp. So I think they all bring different skill sets to the table. So I think any time, and that's the best part about this offense, is that you can tailor it based on who's in the game. And so, yeah, you know, if those guys are in the game, then it's probably looking a little different.
Front row left, Nathan.
With Brandon Bowen, his maturity, kind of, you know, the just sort of his life experiences, how do you see that playing into just how he plays on the field and if there's any kind of residual effect on that unit or the team?
Yeah, no, I think anytime you have guys like him who have been in the program for a while, it's like having a man. It's like having a professional on the team. You know, they're almost players/coaches, I call them, and that's the approach he's had. You don't have to worry about what Brandon's doing at night. You don't have to worry about him going to class. You know, he's graduated. He's done all those things. And so, you know, he's all about making sure that he's ready to roll. He's taking care of his body. And he's producing. You know, I mean, he can take a meeting to the field. He's very serious about it, and his approach, you know, is contagious.
And last question, far left. Bruce?
No business succeeds without a detailed business plan that it plots out and sticks to. In terms of thinking of yourself and your arrival here at age 40 as a head coach, as a young coach, did you have a, for lack of a better term, a business plan as to how to get, not here, but a place like here?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things there. I think one, there's the plan of once you're here, implementing the plan that you believe in, your philosophies, which that's really a combination of every place you've been and making it your own, and then kind of making decisions based on where you're at, the people you're at, and the personnel, and going from there, and making sure you hire a really good staff. But in terms of having an opportunity to be in a situation like this, my biggest thing was I wanted to make sure I worked really, really hard. I wanted to make sure I exposed myself to some of the best coaches in the country, not afraid to take risks. And that goes with your family. You know, if you don't have a family that's willing to move, you know, three times in 3 years to go have an opportunity to go coach in the NFL, or then come back here to Ohio State, which is really the only place I would have left the NFL for, was to come to Ohio State, because this is just the greatest organization in all of America. But you have to really want to take risks. And then at the end of the day, you got to, trust your family that you're making the best decisions, expose yourself to great people, and then be really, really competitive. You got to win every single day. It's like any other job. And if you're tough and you're willing to fight every day, then good things are going to happen to good people that work hard.
Wouldn't have gone to Bama or Notre Dame or any other signature program where you could have made a similar impact?
Only Columbus.
When you're a young coach, really, really young, and you're starting to climb, at what point in your career do you start to envision that something like this was possible? And at the same time, do you ever find yourself looking around at other guys who were your age or younger who were getting big jobs? And is there any, uneasiness within yourself or professional jealousy that, like, how does that guy get that job? Maybe you don't believe he's qualified for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to that question right there. But I would say that, yeah, I mean, from early on, I dream big. I was always taught to dream big at a young age, and I saw a lot of guys who moved up in profession and said, why can't that be me? And, I had an opportunity to be around a guy who was my offensive coordinator at the University of New Hampshire. They went to Oregon and then went from, somebody nobody knew at the University of Hampshire to one of the hottest names in all of football. And I realized that anything's possible. And he kind of taught me that. And I grabbed onto that and ran with it.